We live in a world dominated by success and ambition. These qualities are perceived as necessary if you want to get to the top of an industry, and ambition is certainly a beneficial quality, but when does it become too much? This week, we're breaking down the divide between selfish and healthy ambition.
Welcome to Candidly Caffeinated with Hannah Moyer, where we talk about what it means to truly thrive in your creativity. Everyone is creative, but how do we embrace our strengths and our flaws while building a community? This is what we're here to find out. Hannah is a writer, speaker, and part of Blue Light Media in Southern California. So get comfy, grab a cup of your favorite coffee or tea, and get ready to learn how to not just live as a creative person, but thrive.
Is ambition bad? In a world where it's the currency of work, it's easy to say no. After all, ambition delivers goals. As soon as it becomes solely for selfish gain, though, it changes. Ambition shouldn't be a dirty word, and we shouldn't shame differing levels of ambition. Selfish ambition is driven by a fear of lacking status. This is usually seen as doing whatever it takes to get ahead and pushing others down to achieve recognition. Healthy ambition, though, is taking your given talents and using them to reach your goals, but acting ethically while caring for others. I realize that this may sound a little idealistic, but I truly believe that it's possible to have a successful career without trampling others. One person's ambition is not another's block tower to knock down. As Sheryl Sandberg has said, we can each define ambition and progress for ourselves. The goal is to work towards a world where expectations are not set by the stereotypes that hold us back, but by our personal passion, talents, and interests. In order to discover how our ambition defines our lives, we need to look at a few key areas. Your ambition is the response, not the cause. We need to consider the ulterior motive. Once we find it, we can begin to create better habits so our ambition is healthy and thriving, not bitter and angry at the world and our circumstances. What's the first thought that comes to mind when you consider why you do what you want to do? Your gut reaction will tell you everything you need to know. If it's to gain more power within an organization, then that's not a healthy ulterior motive. If it's to get promoted or to start your own company so that you can embrace your leadership skills and support your team, then your ambition is in a better place. And you're not a horrible person if your mind goes right to power. We just need to reframe that situation and dig into the why behind those thoughts. Over time, you can change your focus and begin to look less on the power and more on how to channel your ambition in healthier ways. If we need to improve those ulterior motives, then how do we create a healthy view of ambition? Reframing is the practice of, in very basic terms, creating a positive situation out of a negative. It's kind of like psychological magic. Put the time into purposefully choosing a positive word about a situation instead of lamenting where you currently are. Growth is one of my favorites because it shows the journey we're each on, regardless of the specific challenge. Other ambition-centric adjectives are giving, selfless, and generous. Instead of focusing on how you may have a tendency to skew towards selfish ambition, consider how your ambition can make you more giving, selfless, and generous towards others. Then act on it. It's always going to be an evolution, and it may be slow, but the more you can remind yourself after a negative thought to consider how you've grown and how you can better help others, the closer you are to creating a healthy sense of ambition. You also need to remind yourself of the goal. Every time you need to check your ambition, remind yourself of the goal for that particular project, role, or even relationship. Our goals should be focused on things like self-improvement and supporting others, rather than seeing how much you can get out of a relationship. Job titles won't solve your problems, and neither will using someone to get to the next level. Remind yourself of the goal and stay focused on that, not the exterior things that won't mean anything in 10 years. Another way to support healthy ambition is to practice taking risks. Yes, practice. Psychiatrist Neil Burton explains ambitious people as those who act with purpose, but allow themselves room to explore, experiment, and discover. Giving yourself the space to discover what you feel you were created to do will help build your ambition in a healthier way. Nothing keeps you fired up over a long period of time like your personal mission. Consider what new activities you can try over the coming 90 days and begin implementing them. It doesn't need to be all at once, because the mere fact that you're pushing yourself to achieve more and to start supporting healthy ambition is enough. Focus and prioritization will always win over frantic overworking tendencies. This incremental change, though, is still ambitious. I've received some amazing, positive, and encouraging comments lately admiring how I'm starting new things and quote-unquote making it happen. I'm not unique in this regard. Anyone can do it. Let's review how. If you have big plans, ramp up to them. I started posting my writing on Instagram. Then I launched the podcast. Then I started the journal prompt series over on Instagram called Glint. Then earlier this month, I launched Craftbox Creative. This was over the course of a year. It's incremental. You don't need to launch everything at once. Start the first, get into a rhythm. Add the second, get into a rhythm. Then the third, and on from there. This incremental launch has kept me healthy, sane, and creative over the course of a year throughout changes in my career and personal life. This unspoken belief about build fast, fail fast surrounds ambition and makes it appear that slow work doesn't bring worthwhile results. If you don't finish a project quickly and suffer the consequences of lost sleep and an insane work schedule, then you weren't ambitious enough. That's false. You can be ambitious even when putting in work for incremental launches. You can be ambitious even while putting in work for incremental launches, which focus on taking one action at a time that will build up into something big over time. So instead of setting a goal that you want 10,000 users of a bootstrapped mobile app within a month, or 5,000 YouTube subscribers after posting twice a week for 90 days with a full-time job, focus on how you can make consistent, incremental progress that produces the same results but without the burnout. Let's take the YouTube example. For 2 weeks, work on brainstorming the content you could have for weekly or bi-weekly videos. And you want to start by committing to a release schedule that you can maintain. Then start producing those videos and releasing them on a schedule. Once you feel confident in this rhythm, see if you can either increase the release schedule or instead focus on what you can do to improve the work itself so that you can get more subscribers. I realize that sometimes you just need to publish it and figure it out later, and I truly admire that. Even with that strategy, though, you need to consider what you can maintain so that you can still see your family, can work your full-time job, and sleep. You can launch something exciting without going out at 120% and burning out in 3 weeks. Your work doesn't lose value with those incremental launches. In fact, it carries more longevity than the launch, get overwhelmed, stop, repeat cycle. It's not glamorous, but I promise you the glam is not what it seems. Quiet, measured hustle is still hustle. Stay healthy, stay focused. Speaking of staying healthy, we also need to remember self-care. Just because it's a buzzword doesn't mean that you don't need to do it. It's far too easy to get wrapped up in doing the next big thing that serves your ambition without realizing what that will eventually do to you. As we've already discussed, ambition is good, but not when it becomes overwhelming. The minute it begins robbing you of care for yourself is the minute it becomes too much. To create peace in the midst of chaos, work on both daily and weekly self-care activities. Daily self-care is typically shorter because it needs to fit into your routine of a busy day. Weekly self-care is longer and provides a better opportunity to get away from life and care for yourself and no one else. Here are some ideas for daily self-care to keep you centered and focused on the right things. Exercise, creating, reading, devotions, meditation, and cooking. Exercise releases endorphins, and as Elle Woods always says, endorphins make you happy. Even a 10-minute run around the neighborhood can give you the mood lift and time to think you need without taking up a significant amount of time. You can definitely commit to 10 minutes of activity. Creating for yourself is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a self-care routine. There's no pressure because it's simply for yourself, and it can help you fall in love with creating again. For those creative professions, it's far too easy to get caught up in trying to make clients happy that you risk your own mental health. Creating for yourself also supports a healthy ambition level. There's no ladder to climb and no pressure to release a side project on time. You're creating for the joy of it. This is a particularly important piece if you're someone who inevitably turns side projects into paying jobs. The joy and passion you receive from working on it can quickly turn into procrastinating and wanting to go back to the day when you could do it for fun, not because there was income riding on it. For this reason, always keep a creative side project that's just for you. Reading and devotions offer a chance to learn new information you're interested in and grow deeper in your faith while also spending time in solace, which, to my extrovert friends, may not seem like a fun way to spend some time in the day, but everyone needs time to just be. Which brings us to meditation. Meditation gives you time to quiet your mind in the midst of your to-do list. It's a way to visualize what you want the day to look like. It doesn't need to be long, and coming from someone who has been trying to create a habit for a long time, it's easier to start short and increase from there. It's also hard to make a valid excuse for skipping it because you can do it while driving, eyes open obviously, at your desk or on a walk during lunch. If we waited for perfect conditions, we would never do it. Imperfect conditions breed resiliency, and this is the perfect place to start. Many people consider cooking as a form of healthy living and not self-care, but our health is the ultimate form of self-care. Without it, you'll be less productive and spend more time and money on getting healthy, all when this is mostly preventative. Instead of schlepping over to the fast casual restaurant nearest the office or ordering Postmates for the third time this week, take an hour and prep meals ahead of time so you can eat quickly and then get back to it. Our ambition won't help us succeed if we're forgetting ourselves. Self-care supports our ambition as long as we prioritize it. Give yourself 30 days to see how a self-care routine can help your mental health and view on ambition. You'll definitely see a difference. I began this episode asking if too much ambition was a bad thing. And as we've walked through this idea, we can see it's not a black and white issue. We need to measure how our ambition affects our lives. Once we do this, we can take action to change it for the better. Whether this is reframing the situation, focusing on measured, incremental changes, or prioritizing self-care, it is possible to be filled with ambition that supports you and your community's goals. Remember, you define it for yourself, and that is an incredible thing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Candidly Caffeinated. We hope that this challenged you, encouraged you, and helped you embrace every piece of who you are. Connect with Hannah on Instagram or Twitter at HJMoyer, M-O-Y-E-R. Join the insiders list at hannahjmoyer.com/join for bonus content, extended interviews, and maybe even some coffee.